The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Dennis Morris at KLEM Lamar's and Mike Hohenbrink from the Kalmar Courier. Dennis, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
I guess if we can, let me go back. I know the Senate actually passed the infrastructure bill sometime back, and the House did just within the last couple of weeks, but when I talk to people, they kind of feel like this is somewhat like the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and the fact that it was passed before anybody knew what was really in the bill. And I wanted you to, if you would, comment on it a little bit about the fact that it was there was a lot of confusion and a lot of people thinking that they don't know exactly what was all in the bill and the tremendous cost that came with it.
Yeah. Well, when you think of the fact that half of that $1 trillion is money that would have been spent through the normal appropriation process anyway, just as a way of expending the gas tax that comes in very regularly, you know, at least for those programs, there's no surprise. And I can tell you 100% of it is infrastructure. And from that standpoint, one of the things we need to be concerned about in Iowa is the fact that in addition to what money we get through the gas tax, we're going to get another $300 and some million to fix our bridges, because 23% of the bridges in Iowa are structurally deficient, and nobody wants to be going over an unsafe bridge. So that's just one example. We're filling potholes, or at the other end of it, getting broadband, so everybody got internet connection. That's infrastructure, because you can travel by car or you can travel by internet. The point is that this. And I think that maybe where some of this confusion comes from is the fact that when this started out with the Biden administration, they put roads and highways and traditional infrastructure in with a whole bunch of social programs. And when this bill passed the Senate, I think on August the 5th, we shut down that effort to get both bills tied together. Because if you tie these two bills together, then it's legitimate for people to say, how come only 25% of it is roads and highways and bridges and other infrastructure, including locks and dams, airports, seaports, all the stuff that you need to move product or to move people. And I think one of the smart things we did with the bipartisan bill in the United States Senate, and it ended up the same way out of the House of Representatives, is to keep them not connected, so that traditional infrastructure is now being signed by the President of the United States sometime today. Mike.
Senator, your office recently announced that you're looking at a cattle market pricing reform, the Cattle Price Discovery and Transparency Act. Obviously, with Iowa's role in the ag industry, this is a big deal for Iowans. How do you see this particular bill helping with the domination, especially by the big four in the meatpacking industry?
Two ways. Greater price transparency, so that the farmer knows when he's offered a price, is that a fair price or not? We don't have enough information on a daily kill of cattle for a farmer to be sure of that, and this will give that information. The second thing is, a lot of times a farmer can sell today and maybe you can't deliver for another 30 days. This will require information coming from cattle slaughtering industry of how much their daily kill is over the next 14 days. So you don't have to wait a month to get your cattle slaughtered. But I think a better answer to your question would be if I'd explain the problem, and then you'd understand what I just explained to you. The problem is that the four biggest meat packers control about 80 to 85% of the market. And of that 80 to 85% of the market, about 85% of it is pre-contracted. So there's not enough room on the chains where cattle are cut up for the spot market. So you might not be able to even get a price today. This is going to guarantee the opportunity to get a price, to get a fair price, and to know when you're going to be able to deliver your cattle within the next 14 days. Back to Dennis.
All right, Senator, I guess my first thing, if I can, I can just barely hear you. I was wondering if your audio engineers might be able to turn up your volume a little bit or something.
Is this any better?
A little bit.
Okay. Control room, can you turn the volume up a little bit?
There we go. Yeah. Now I got it. Okay, good. Okay. All right, Senator, my next question is this. As you know, we're starting to see inflation take off, and we have a supply chain issue with several freighters set anchor out in the Pacific Ocean, out in the Los Angeles Harbor and other areas. And I was just wondering, what can be done? Is there anything that the government can do to step in and kind of help alleviate some of that congestion and get the supply chain going again and get our products to the shelves on the stores where we're needing?
This problem came up last Friday when I had a meeting with Iowa home builders. They brought up this very same point. Particularly, you can't get windows. And I suppose even if we make windows in the United States, like we make Pella windows in four plants in Iowa, if you can't get some of the parts you need because they're coming from overseas, you can't finish a window. That's just one example. Now, I think the president did the right thing by getting the unions willing to unload 24/7 instead of maybe just 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But that's just the beginning. If you can't get the truckers into California because you can't drive a truck in California that's any older than 2011, or you're shorty 80,000 truck drivers in the United States, or you don't have room in the warehouses, or if you do have room in the warehouses, you may not have enough workers in the warehouses, getting the things unloaded 24/7. Is only a partial solution to it, and it's not really getting the product to the consumer. So I think that there's a lot of work that's got to be done. I don't find fault with anything that the president's done already, but it isn't going to solve the problem. What would solve the problem is if the governor of California would exempt or waive the requirement that you can't have a truck older than 2011 coming in, or that you have to use a certain amount of product in your truck, or having location rules that say you can't put warehouse here or there because of local ordinances and all that sort of thing. That'd be a big help. But the shortage of laborers and truck drivers is a bigger problem than I know how to answer right now, except for what the federal government did for a year, pay out federal unemployment compensation to add to state unemployment compensation. That disincentivized people to work, and we've done away with that disincentive now. Mike?
Senator, the announcement by Patrick Leahy, he will not seek office, is adding additional fuel to talk about the midterms. Looking ahead, do the Republicans have a chance coming up with the midterms for 2022?
Definitely. And right now, it looks very good for taking over both the House of Representatives and the Senate. Maybe 3 months ago, I would have said, well, yeah, we'll take over the House of Representatives. I'm not sure about the Senate, but it seems to me that things have deteriorated so bad. And the results of the election in Virginia is a sideshow to what's coming up next year is very definitely an indication that we'll be very successful in November, a year from now, when the ballots are counted. Dennis?
Okay, Senator, I guess I was just kind of wondering about, we've already kind of covered the cattle market. That was one of my questions I was going to ask, but your thoughts on the landscape of the political scene. We'll just kind of pick it up on Mike's question there a little bit as to where do you see the strengths that may happen with the Republicans versus the Democrats on the midterm elections next year?
Well, let's just look at Iowa. It looks to me like the reapportionment shows that we got a chance of picking up all four seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. I think the governor's in a very strong position. I think we can keep both houses of the state legislature. I think Chuck Grassley will be reelected. But what's the issues are that are driving this are leaving Americans, citizens over in Afghanistan when we pulled out, inflation at 30-year highs, and every day on cable television you see the crisis at the border. So it shows that we lack leadership in the executive branch of government. We need Republican leadership. Now, it'll be another 3 years before you can get a Republican president. But a year from now, we can have Republicans controlling the United States House of Representatives and Senate. Mike?
Senator, big talk on the international stage is the prospect for NATO member Poland entering full-scale conflict with the attack on its borders, reportedly with tear gas and so on. Recently, the U.S. and United Kingdom intercepted a Russian aircraft. Is the U.S. moving toward war?
I don't think so, but anything could blow up any time. You've got what's going on the Polish border between Russia, Belarus versus NATO. You've got North Korean shooting off missiles all the time just for practice, but it's still a threat. You've got China trying to edge out Indians and part of their country over there. And all you got to do is remember that national defense is our number one responsibility, and the National Defense Authorization Act is going to be up for work in the United States Senate this week. Dennis?
I'll leave you. You've answered all my questions, Senator. So if there's a point or an issue that you'd like to comment on that either Mike or I didn't ask, I'll let you go ahead and talk about that right now.
Okay, I'll ask Mike if he's got a question, and then I'll take you up on your...
Senator, with the White House proposal to offer settlements to illegals, has there been enough opposition that this is dead in the water, or do you think this will still be moving forward?
On immigration?
Settlements.
Yeah. Well, here, nothing's going to happen on immigration until we get the crisis of the border corrected. And as far as those payments are concerned, if they were to go through, it would just very much encourage more people to come to the United States. And I've got legislation in. I think we have you heard me talk about the Defense Authorization Act. I think there's an amendment dealing with this particular issue that Senator Daines of Montana is offering that would prohibit these sort of payments. But you can understand that even if you thought some payments were legitimate, are you going to take into consideration that maybe the parents, in some instances, gave up their children voluntarily? If they were just separated for a day or two as opposed to 2 or 3 years, does that make a difference? These questions have not been answered. And I'm going to, as I indicated by my co-sponsorship of the Daines Amendment, I'm not going to stop fighting this issue. It's a bad idea to pay this kind of money out. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Dennis and Mike, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.